If you don't know me, I'm Anna. My husband and I have the restaurant. A lot of you have been here many times. I want to welcome you to our fourth symposia series. It's what we call civilized dining. In antiquity, the symposia theme would be posted, the guests would be invited, they would come, and the host would mix the wine in the craters according to the themes. It would only be three craters for a political discussion or theme, and it would be four or five for a fun theme. So today we have four, maybe four and a half, depending on. So this should be a fun theme tonight. It's January. I hope you're all enjoying the thaw, the January thaw, because it's amazing. Otherwise, we'd all be very cold here. And I set myself a theme tonight, which is no nightshades. So if you know nightshades, that's potatoes, eggplant, tomatoes, bell peppers, you won't find anything of that there. In antiquity, we did have peppers, but an eggplant came rather soon, but we didn't have tomatoes or potatoes. So just for the heck of it, I tried something new tonight. You've already had the feta black sesame, which I translated from an older recipe that I found in a book. We had kolokithopita, which is braised squash, organic squash in layers of phyllo, just because we like to tell everybody, you can do anything, put anything in phyllo and make it nice, okay? And the final thing was saganaki, which is another lesson I like to tell my my guest. Saganaki means the little fry pan, which is what the snails came out in. So we had snail salagari saganaki. So, and that was flavored with fresh oregano that I whipped over out of my garden just this morning. Yes. It's called Luns, okay? We are drinking an ancient drink called Retsina. This is a Retinitis brand. It's an elegant, bubbly brand. That's the tall green bottle. Retsina-flavored wine was discovered, quote-unquote, when the Greeks were shipping the wines across the Mediterranean in the clay amphorae with the wooden cask, the wooden corks sealed with pitch. So the pitch leached into the wine, flavored the wine, but they found, in fact, it stabilized the wine. And once you got used to the flavor, the wine was really great and it wasn't separating or oxidizing. So it is my pleasure tonight to welcome Nancy Erickson. I'll talk a little bit about my experience with yoga, but Nancy and I, Nancy and I have been bumping in, elbows and we've been bumping warriors at the YMCA for years, and we got to talking, and I thought she'd be a good guest for my four symposia, which is, you know, a little bit about exercise, a little bit about health and awareness, and I hope you all go away with something a little bit more than you came with today, something to help you feel a little bit, to understand this weather a little bit more and to live joyously, okay? So here, Nancy Erickson, let's give her a hand, please.
As I talk to a few of you, you're familiar with yoga, but I think it's exciting where things are going with yoga. And I just want to share that when I was 21, I really had no awareness of my mind-body connection. I'm not sure where the best place to stand is, probably up here. And I was 21, and I thought that I wanted to get a little more exercise, and so I decided to go running on a summit, and my low back and my hips just froze up, and I went to an orthopedic surgeon. I don't know why I saw an orthopedic surgeon for that, but he told me, one, I should never run again, and two, that he gave me some physical therapy, which was great because I got some back exercises, and I found out something that I didn't know. I found out that my low back was supposed to move and that this curve in it, that it was okay to move it and that my hips were supposed to move. So that was an awareness, now as I look back, that I really did not know how my body worked. Secondly, during that time, I remember going to the doctor a few times with stomach aches, and I was certain that I probably needed some surgery, and being told that it was stress related, and I was very upset about that. I didn't think they quite understood what I was dealing with. At 20, Chris and I, my boyfriend at the time, who's here tonight with me, my husband, we were going to be moving in together, and I was spending the last night at home in staying in my mother's home, and I woke up during the night. I couldn't sleep, and I had horrible chest pain, and I was certain that I was having a heart attack, and I went to the emergency room, and they didn't seem too alarmed, and they said this was a stress reaction. And I remember being vaguely disappointed that I wasn't having a heart attack, because I didn't know, I had no mind-body awareness. And I felt really judged when they said this was stress, but I didn't know what to do with it. So I went through nursing school, and at age 28, I'd been practicing for 6 years, and from 24 to 26, I worked with people that were very immobile, on ventilators, and it's a very physical job. And I'm giving you this information to just share a little bit about my journey. And I was in constant back pain. People, I worked with quadriplegics and people with ALS. And I remember one day taking a sick day and staying home, and a friend called, and I said, I need to find another job. I hadn't been listening, obviously, when HR talked about work injuries, because I probably could have made a claim for a work injury, but I didn't know that I had that right. And the other job that my friend told me about was working as a nurse case manager, as a neutral party, actually as a QRC, with people who have work injuries. And I've been doing this for the last 20 years, and I've seen the effects of not taking care of ourselves. And there's some injuries that are unavoidable, but there are a lot of things that just keep recycling. And so I see the amount of money that is spent in healthcare, and I see the amount of money spent in work injuries. And I think that our country can do a lot more with prevention, and the money goes in afterwards. The money goes in for treatment afterwards. Last night, watching the State of the Union, I was pleased to see the Republicans and the Democrats sitting together, but I started thinking that wouldn't it be nice if for 20 minutes a week they could do some yoga, some mind-body together. And I got a John Boehner moment. I got a little choked up thinking about that. But I'm pretty passionate about yoga, and if there's one thing that, if you don't already know this, it's that it is available to us, not just, as Janet and I were talking for a minute when she first came in, not just in a yoga class, although there are classes everywhere going on now. Any senior centers, they're doing classes at schools, special ed, clinics, chemical dependency, eating disorder clinics, pretty much any area, chiropractic centers, but yoga, I think it's important to take some classes and learn basics about yoga, but then it can be done while we're driving in the car or watching TV or 5 minutes before I get up to talk by breathing. And in some ways I'm doing yoga right now, trying to remind myself about my breath. I would not have been able to stand up here and talk in front of a group of people 15 years ago, and I think yoga is a great tool that can be picked up at any time. So we've got the mind component, we've got the relaxation, we've got the body component. I haven't told Chris this, but I had a checkup on Monday, and I was amazed when I saw the medical assistant write down 74 3/4 inches tall. I just keep growing. And at the age of 70, I'm afraid I'll be hitting 7 feet. But, you know, it's the strength. When I started yoga, and the yoga instructor would talk about, you know, cracking a nut. Imagine you're cracking a nut with your shoulder blades in the back. I didn't know what she was talking about. I couldn't feel those muscles back there. And to be able to stand here in my mountain pose, you know, the height that I am, that's come a long way from being a 13-year-old lying in bed wanting to see an orthopedic surgeon to cut off about 3 inches right in my calf. So there have been a lot of blessings in my life that yoga has brought me, and I think anybody can benefit from it. and I'm excited to be invited here. I've been practicing for about 12 years and certified the last 2 years in Yoga Fit. Yoga Fit is a more fitness oriented, so there's a lot of us around. I teach at the YMCA, LA Fitness, and I've just started teaching in our community in Badness Heights at a commons there. Just 3 weeks ago, started that class. 20 people were the max, and 20 people signed up. And so there is a need out there. People are hurting, people are stressed, and I have all kinds of ideas for how yoga could be implemented cheaply, little mini yoga breaks in the work site. I get really excited about different things, and I'm looking forward to having some interaction and discussion tonight in this symposia. And any questions? I'd be curious, with a show of hands, how many people have taken a formal yoga class or are involved in a yoga program? Pardon?
She says she needs your vote. I said, no, she needs me to be converted.
You need to be converted? Okay. About once a month, I many times a month, I hear from people, I'm not flexible enough to do yoga. And I just had somebody Monday night in my beginner class, the third one I did at Badness, saying, oh, you're so flexible. I played basketball and volleyball in high school. This was stretching to do this. You know, do this before a game and you're good to go. Like I said, I didn't know the benefit I would get from doing a cat and a cow. I didn't know when our daughter's 17 and she loves to shop, and we went to the Mall of America, and after 2 hours I'm done for, and I go in the bathroom. And 3 minutes later, a few folds, a few chest openers, standing cat and cow, and I'm good to go for another 2 hours. And these are simple things, but I really am passionate about it because I'd love to see, I work with a lot of healthcare people, and I'd love to see on the nurse's station as they're chatting, the people are standing here and just like you would blow your nose or do, you know, something like that. You take care of a bodily need. I wish that were part of our norm, that people could do that. And I think it can happen. And I think we're there's a sea change going on. There's an International Yoga Therapists Association that I belong to. They've been in business for 20 years. Now, their whole thing is to get yogis as therapists, not just teaching yoga. And this last year, they have started a symposium where they're getting a lot of research. But there is so much going on right now with research, with yoga is just booming everywhere. And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon because you're flexible enough. I got off track. Yoga is especially for people who are not flexible. It's kind of like saying, I can't do, I don't know, I'm sure someone can come up with a good analogy, but that's who yoga is especially for. And I tell people at the very beginning of my class, we keep competition and comparison out of this. But Americans, we don't do that very well, especially if it's something physical and athletic. We usually are very competitive. So I think that flexibility comes after, and it will come. So when people say to me, well, you're so flexible, I just think, at first, my first reaction is, no, I'm not. And then I realize I have become fairly flexible. Certain areas of me, my hips have gotten a lot more flexible, but I'll never be able to do a lot of yoga poses. And it's not... You know, if you really want to get into it, you want to go into all these fancy pretzel moves, more power to you. That's great. But yoga can be available to every one of us. And I'm certified now in level 1 and 2, and then seniors yoga. So after this next break, we'll do some seated yoga. If we have time now before, can I keep talking, Anna? Okay. what yoga does, it's my understanding, is that our muscles, if I flex this muscle, the one behind it relaxes, right? So as we age and as we sit at our computers and cars, we start rounding forward, right? And the belly starts going. I mean, it just happens. So yoga, we're lengthening our spine, a la trying to become 7 feet tall. So we're lengthening our spine and opening the chest, stretching here, strengthening back here. Then our bellies, as time goes on, what happens? We need to strengthen, stretch. And then the hips, it's opposite. We need to stretch out the hips and our rear ends, tighten up. So it's counterposing, working those opposing muscle groups. There are a lot of thoughts that I have. As we were talking up here a little bit, and this might seem a little off track, but there, what I don't want to see happening, and I'm afraid it is, somebody brought up yoga for weight loss. It was just on there was an article in the Time magazine about yoga for weight loss, and now this woman's getting criticized. It's like, please, dear God, let's not be picking apart. If yoga is working for something somewhere, we don't need to be, but that's kind of human nature. And I think the yoga practice is all about kindness and respecting differences and
our own journey.
Absolutely. I have a friend who started yoga devotion. She is a Lutheran pastor. She felt very comfortable mixing her Christian beliefs with yoga, and there was a big spread a number of years ago in Time magazine, and that was really exciting. She was not prepared for the backlash. There were some, you know, traditional yoga practitioners that were upset with yoga devotion, but she got most of the criticism from the right-wing evangelical Christians that really, really attacked it. And she was blown away, and she spent a lot of time researching and trying to share with them how the two were united. And finally, she realized that she needed to say to them, yoga may not be for you. Yoga may not be for everyone in that situation. But I think anybody and anybody can do yoga. There's a gentleman in Minnetonka, Matthew Sanford or Sanborn, who has Mind Body Solutions. He is a man, a paraplegic in a wheelchair, and he works with, and his staff work with people with disabilities of all kind. So the mindfulness, we can access at any time. What do you have to add?
I would just say that what I really liked about yoga, and I will just give my beginning, my little short history at this point. As we're eating our artichoke. This is artichoke with red lentil, red lentil stuffing and feta cheese. So this is the first time we've seen feta cheese in the meal, except for the bread. But I went into yoga actually to debunk it because I was getting sick and tired of everybody saying how great it was. And it was one practice I was hooked. And why was I hooked? Because my doctor had just ordered my foot to be fused. I have foot pain, a serious foot pain, and my leg should have been amputated. But I had a really great doctor who saved it. But it was stiffening up. And it had a lot of pain, and I couldn't use it. And he said, well, with the next, and I did all the injections. It's still swollen from all the injections they put in. Nothing helped. I was limping around. I looked like a 90-year-old. So I went and I tried yoga just because it's like, okay, I'm just going to try one thing, and so nobody can tell me anything about yoga. I was hooked. And why am I hooked? Because when you do yoga, you learn there's many facets. There's circulation and posture, which is all about, as Nancy said, opening up, bringing your spine out. What does this do? This gives us thinking capacity. This gives us focus. This makes us efficient. This makes us do what we have to do. Okay.
That's so,
So a straight spine with openness between the spondylicis, I don't know in Greek, but yeah, between the discs, right. Gives circulation, gives flexibility. When we slip on the ice, because we slip on a lot of ice around here, we have balance. And that's the other thing. I do, as Nancy said, I have this really great machine. I crank it up to 25 out of 30. I bite people who don't go, who are in my way. It's true. I bite them. It's like, off my bike. But I have to go through that for my cardio. I have to get stuff off. But then that tightens up my hips. And then I realize that I'm walking like this. I need to open my hips. I have slipped and fallen. I've caught things with my foot. I'm not even a soccer player. And it's just instantaneous because my hips are open. I have balance. I have circulation and focus. Just those little things. Hip openers, standing up straight and pulling your head out of your spine, because we all do this. We're all like this all day long. We're like, oh my God, I have so many things to do. No, we have things to do, okay? And we approach them like this. All right. So, any questions about course number two? Okay, that was artichokes with a red lentil, organic red lentil stuffing and feta cheese with a little bit of marjoram. It's, you know, I have these events, one, because I'd like to reintroduce civilized dining to Minneapolis. I have a very small focus. And because I like to make myself do things difficultly and to try new things and keep me fresh. So these are all things that I have invented basically today, looking at a few recipes, studying things, and just thinking on them. With a little stress included today. Just a little. But anyways, so I hope you like it. I'm going to turn it back over to Nancy. We have a trajana with porcini mushrooms and squash base with rolled pork with leeks and apples. And then we have a wonderful chicken, vine-wrapped chicken breast with cracked green olives.
I wanted to say that I get people coming to my class more and more whose doctors have referred them to yoga, which is wonderful, but it's so important you get in the right class. I cannot tell you how often I have people who are having physical issues, haven't had a very active physical life, and they walk into my class with their new tennis shoes on, 5 or 10 minutes late, right after I've given the long spiel about no comparison, no competition, resting when you need to, you know, sitting and watching, and then they'll walk in and look like deer in the headlights. And so I'll just go over and say, just sit and watch. But you can get injured in yoga. Yoga it can be for everyone, but you need to make sure you're in the right class. I was telling you about this person who is in a wheelchair and he teaches in Minnetonka. So those classes, a lot of times, I think, are one-on-one. You can get things specialized. So it's important to get in the right class, because I think sometimes doctors, maybe they are saying get in the right class, but maybe not. And yoga is not yoga. There's a lot of commonalities, but people can get injured. And my fear is that people walk in like that, they come, I may not even be able to get to them because I've got a full class, and they come in late and they leave early and they go tell all their friends, yoga isn't for me, I can't do yoga. Boy, yoga was hard. And it kind of breaks my heart, because then I think, oh shoot, if they were in the right place, or maybe if I could have even talked to them and gotten a chair and done some modifications, and I try to give modifications for every pose that I get into, but if a person cannot get down on all fours comfortably, getting up and down, then they need a different type of yoga class, and they're there. So so I think we should do some yoga, right? Are you ready? All right, I'm going to put on some music just to set the tone here. And what I would like is for people to maybe spread out a little bit. We can do this entire thing seated. Go ahead and spread out. Or there'll be a little time where I may, well, I'll say if you like, it's an option to stand, okay? So kind of try to get a little space from your neighbor because I'll be suggesting you move your arms if you're able to do that. So I think we got the whole room. If somebody walks in, they'll have to jump over us, huh? So what I'm going to ask you to do is get quiet. Get quiet, not only talking, but we're going to try to calm down the chatter in our brain that goes on all the time. And I know there's a lot of ambient noise going on, but let's begin to come into this present moment and close our eyes. And we'll be in a seated mountain position. So if you're able to, bring your feet parallel with one another, about hip distance apart. And place your hands on your thighs or wherever you're comfortable. Maybe palms up if that's comfortable. And we're going to align ourselves, our mind, our body, our spirit, our soul, through noticing our breath. Gently closing our lips. We'll begin inhaling, if this works, through your nose. Slow, deep, and even. And exhale through the nose. This nasal breathing, it's called ujjayi breathing, warms up our core, keeping our heat in more. It calms our mind, helps slow us down. If you have a cold and you need to do some mouth breathing, no worries. I'm suggesting only these things. If anything is uncomfortable or hurts in yoga, we back off. We don't do it. Sometimes we get big stretches when we're on our mats in yoga, but if something hurts, don't do it. That's always the cardinal rule. Slowing that breath down slows our pulse, our metabolism, lowers our cortisol, and we can take this relaxation response with us outside of our traditional yoga practice. Notice how you're feeling. And let's think of our emotions as a kite and our breath as the string of that kite. And if we've got a nice calm breathing, that kite floats gently. If we start breathing erratically and holding our breath and taking very shallow breaths, that kite jumps around. With each inhale, we feel our lungs filling, ribs expanding side to side. Notice your belly. We spend a lot of the day pulling in all those layers of abdominal muscles. Let it be soft right now. Let go and notice the breath. You may have some unwanted thoughts, thinking about a to-do list or thinking about a regret from yesterday. We can't force those thoughts away, but we can notice them and then bring our attention right back to our breath. And on our next exhale, just imagine exhaling and gently blowing that thought away. If it comes back, just notice it. Let's open our eyes and sit up tall. Let's roll our shoulders forward, up, back, and down. Opening up our chest one more time. Inhaling and exhaling. Bringing our hands to heart center in prayer. we'll feel our sitting bones grounding into our chair. Feeling our feet grounded in the floor. Our legs are strong. In each of our poses in yoga, we work all of our muscles. If we work all of our muscles together, then one muscle group doesn't get overtaxed. Let's exhale and take a slight twist over to the right. Just warming up the side of our body. Gazing over our right shoulder, maybe. Inhale back to center. And exhale to the left. Inhale back to center. And hands come back down. Let's exhale and just bring our chin slightly forward, feeling our back of our neck elongate. And looking up, maybe where the ceiling and the wall meet, really opening the chest right here. Back to the center. And we'll take a chest opener. If you like, you can make fists with your hands and place them on either side of your low back here. And if it works for you, within your chairs to be pressing your elbows toward one another. We're opening up right here. Now we're activating the belly, opening the chest, gazing slightly up. This counteracts all our time at our computer. Opening, can you feel those lungs opening and getting a little more air in there? And we'll come back to the center for our seated cat and cow. I cannot do enough of these. Imagine a string from your sternum down to your navel. And as we exhale, our hands are coming right on our thighs here. As we exhale, we're gonna round like this. And imagine that string is getting really loose and slack. We're exhaling and rounding, creating space in between those discs. Inhaling, opening up to our cow, opening up that chest, and then flow with this, with your own pace. Exhale to our cat, rounding. And inhale, sitting up, opening the chest. Couple more. Inhale. Exhale and inhale. Beautiful. And we'll come back to our seated mountain, bringing our fingers into our moonflower fingers. With our inhale, we're going to reach up, feeling like we're reaching out of our hips here and retracting our shoulder blades, kind of like a little traction here. And exhale as we come down. We're opening the chest. Exhale, let the air come out of your lungs. See if you can pull those elbows back and down just a little more. Really exaggerate that open chest. Inhale, reaching up through the nose. Exhale. Listen for your exhale and feel it. Imagine you are watching that air coming out, and it's flowing against your gently constricted back of your throat with your exhale. That's our Ujjayi exhale. Some people say it's like Darth Vader or sounds like the ocean. It's okay to hear your neighbor breathing. It's very reassuring, actually. Inhaling and exhale. We'll meet up here. Now, I was going to do sunflowers. You know what? If any of you would like to and are able to and would like to stand, if that would feel better, just in our sunflowers, we're going to hinge forward. You can do it in your chair. We just need a little space between you and the table. So if you want to back up, or we can stand. In our sunflower, we've got our moonflower hands. Now we're... Pardon?
We're doing goddess pose?
Yeah, we can... Yeah, yep, goddess pose. feet are angled out at 45. Bend those knees. And it's fine to stay seated or standing. And we're inhaling, we're reaching up. And then we're exhale, we're going to hinge at our hips and sweep down. If we're in our chair, yep, we're doing the same thing. Mort, we're right here. Exhaling and then inhaling, coming up, sweeping. Exhale. Listen, feel that exhale and hinging forward. Beautiful. How are we doing? Are we feeling good? Is the air flowing? Good. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we could just do this at the mall or do this at work in our cubicles? And you know what? Why can't we? Power to the people. Exhaling. And one more. Okay. And from here, let's go back to our seated or standing mountain pose. You can stand if you want. Go ahead and stay standing if you like. I'm going to stand. And we're going to be in our chair. Well, we're standing or sitting, and we're taking the chair pose. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, yep. And you can. She's got her arms up here in fierce. That's hard on some people's shoulders, but she has been doing this, obviously. Other options for arms are right here. So they're parallel. Just checking the shoulders. We don't want them up here. You got it. So we're opening our chest, right? And if you're standing in chair, place your weight on your heels. Lift up your toes. Whether you're sitting or standing, lift all 10 toes. Knee, we want our legs hip distance apart and feet parallel. Yep. So whether you're sitting or standing, okay? Now, we're in our chair, sitting or standing, come to airplane arms like this. And we're hinging forward a little bit, sitting or standing. And then we're inhaling, flowing. Exhaling. One more each direction. Inhaling and exhale. And then come back to, you can stay standing if you like. We're going to do eagle arms, stretching out right here in the backs of our upper shoulders. We're taking, you're trapped. We're going to make you do yoga. We're going to do eagle arms. So I'll demonstrate eagle arms. And if you've got a more muscular upper body, this may not work for you. So then you're going to probably give yourself a hug or you're going to press here. Eagle arms are like this. One arm goes under the other and wraps. Otherwise, hug. You got it, Brian. So choose your eagle arms. Right here, Mort. You're not getting out of this. Elbows. Elbows. Good. Okay. So wherever you're at, we're lifting those elbows up. Feel that? Are you feeling that nice stretch? Say you're feeling it. Are you feeling
it? Feeling it.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay. So we're breathing, right? We're not holding our breath. We're breathing. Lifting elbows. We can be standing, yep. Chair legs or the eagle position is wrapping the legs in the opposite direction. Now unwind wherever you're at. Did you remember which arm you had on top? We're going to do the other one. So you get a little different stretch. And we're inhaling, reaching up. And not forcing anything, letting those muscles do their thing. Maybe exhale, elbows slightly coming down. Inhale. I always say inhale, think length. Exhale, letting go, surrender. And yep, it's hard for the muscles.
Because
your muscles are so big. Alrighty, and let's come back. Let's all come back to our seated position. And get comfortable. I'd like to take us through one more. Normally my classes are an hour. We're not going to make you do that. But I'm going to be doing our final relaxation. And if you go to a yoga class, don't do what I did for many, many, many years. We'd get done, we'd do our, you know, beginning warm-up, and then we'd do the bulk of the class, and then the last 5 minutes we'd do relaxation, and I'd pack up my toys and I'd go home before that started. For years. And I'd say, I'm done, I've done all that. I'm in a hurry. I don't think that yoga teacher realizes how busy and important I am. And so now I tell my people, sometimes I even guilt them. I try not to, but it's really important to have to stay. I mean, if you have to leave, you have to leave. But to unwind and to just let our bodies kind of go back to where, to compare how you're feeling at the end with when we started, just keeping that mind-body centeredness going to take you on your way. So now we're gonna go back, and I wanna teach a very simple technique called the anti-anxiety breathing. I don't know if anyone has anxiety ever in their life or stress, but never. So it's simple, and it's a really, really nice one to do if you're mind is racing at bedtime or before you need to get up and talk in front of people. So let's close our eyes and take one hand right below the navel and the other hand right on the upper part of your chest. And once again, getting quiet. Some people like to do this at the end of the class, lying on their back in what's called corpse pose, savasana. If you're lying on your back and you have low back issues, I always tell people to bring their knees together, feet really wide. Sometimes people cover up their eyes a little more to get a deeper relaxation. But let's draw our attention to our breathing. Slowing down our heart rate again. Slowing down that breath rate. And really noticing our breath. Inhaling slowly through the nose. Deep and even, and then exhaling slowly through the nose. And then, this is where it's a little different, pausing for two counts, if that's comfortable to you, before starting on your inhale through the nose. Slow, deep, and even, mindfully breathing, inhaling, exhaling, and then pausing for two counts. It's a way of calming our mind, slowing down, and it works wonders at bedtime. Reminding ourselves that we are human beings, not human doings. Reminding ourselves that in our yoga practice, it's safe to let go, let our belly relax and soften. Breathing in peace. And exhaling any tension, stress, and anything we no longer need. If it doesn't serve us anymore, it's okay to let us go. And one more deep breath in and out. Let's come out of it, bringing our hands to our side, opening up our chest. Inhale, sweep the arms up and into prayer position. As we go about this evening and our meal, let's keep peace in our minds, peaceful words on our lips, and peace in our hearts. Namaste. It's a way of connecting, letting me know that I honor each of you and your paths that you're on. So. You guys are an easy crowd.